Welcome to season 5 of the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. I'm Beverly Densham, Mindfulness Pilates teacher of over 25 years and author. I really look forward to bringing you tips to reduce back pain to feel good, as well as working through stress to calm, with relaxation, positive affirmations and inspiration every week to inspire you in body and mind. Feel stronger, happy and calm. Okay, so big welcome to this week's podcast. So we have a guest this week, really pleased to let you know. Today's podcast is going to be about burnout to inspiration with Anne Gerling, also known as the Unlikely Guru, is on a mission to empower women with the knowledge they need and inspire them to action so that they can become healthier and more vibrant version of themselves. She does this through her Arbonne business. She worked in the NHS for 30 years and left feeling totally disillusioned and burnt out. Became a coach and is also the author of Journey to Chocolate. So big welcome, Anne. It is so lovely to have you here today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Hooray. So how did we meet?
Oh my goodness. It was through the Women in Business Network, wasn't it? You came on and you did your lovely calm to happy in a minute and talked about Pilates, and I joined your class and the rest is history, I suppose.
It is, isn't it? It is. So your original career was as a nurse, and you document it in quite, I've really enjoyed reading your book, actually, Journey to Chocolate, which most of you will be listening to this, but if you happen to be on YouTube, then I'm holding the book up at the minute. It's a beautiful book, but it really does sort of share your nursing story, the burnout and the different challenges you went through. So how did your nursing career come about?
Oh my goodness. Well, most people won't know because I'm a child of the 50s. There was the most dreadful program called Emergency Ward 10, which was so stereotypical nurses, stereotypical doctors and all the rest of it. And I decided I wanted to be one. But also my grandfather, my uncle, and various family members were doctors, and in fact we had a very famous neurosurgeon in the family, so it was kind of there in the blood, talked about, witnessed and all the rest of it. But no, it was nursing for me. And to be fair, back then, and not many women did went in for medicine, they were tended to be nurses, but that's what I wanted to be anyway.
Yeah. And what areas of nursing did you work in?
Okay, I trained at Great Ormond Street in London. It was always children, really. I had a younger sister who I can't say I brought her up, but she was. I spent a lot of time with my younger sister and loved looking after her when mum gladly let me. So it was always going to be children, and I trained, as I say, I trained at Great Ormond Street, and then did my general nursing and obstetrics, because really, if you're going to get on back then, if you're going to get on anywhere, you needed to be, you needed to have your general training as well. And then I went into health visiting, mainly because I was having a good time in London at the time, and it was better pay and better hours. I actually didn't know what it was, but I somehow got into the course and really enjoyed it. And that was most of my career from then on. I did a bit of practice nursing, but mostly health visiting from then on.
Yeah. And I obviously want to just say thank you to you for you actually filled out our stress survey for our new book, Stress to Calm in 7 Minutes for Nurses, which has just come out. And I have to, well, myself and my co-author, Janie, actually, we did find it quite difficult reading, because you're the only one that's actually named in the book of sharing your experience and burnouts and stress. Obviously wanted to give your book a little shout out as well. But everybody else is, you know, sort of anonymous in the book, because everyone was very honest about what they shared in the survey, really. So what sort of stresses were you under as a nurse? Because obviously it did lead to burnout, and I have got a few things I thought I'd ask, actually.
Okay.
From your book as well.
Well, it's probably easier for me to be vocal about it because it's 20 years ago. So, you know, there's not nothing, I've got no attachment. So this, the stresses I was under, I was a lead, I had a lead role in the health visiting service, which had been heavily disinvested in a couple of years before. And we wanted to create a better service for our clients, but it was continually bashing our heads against a brick wall. But I also had a caseload as well. So I was caught between clinical and a leadership role. And I remember one day in particular when I was told that I had to get a report into the primary care group, trust, whatever it was at the time, to start getting some money back. And I had a child protection report to write, and I had to do both. And it was like, this is crazy. This is just crazy. And it was those kind of things that happened that just got worse and worse. And I wanted to do better. I wanted it to be better. And I worked probably too hard trying to make something better that was never going to actually get better. I'm beating my head against brick wall with managers, but also my colleagues who didn't want to change. They wanted to stay the way things always were. It was, looking back, I loved it, but it was a flipping nightmare.
And then how did that affect you? Because in your book, you call it chapter 7, The Crash, and about your burnout and sick leave and more sick leave. What was your experience of this? And you also mentioned that you reached out for unhealthy. It's like, I didn't know Anne then, so I know Anne now, but we'll talk about who Anne was then and what did you reach for and what did that burnout look like for you?
I think you mentioned in the book, you mentioned alcohol and cigarettes. I wasn't actually smoking at the time. I think I'd managed to give up a few years before, but it was a crutch for nurses before we had anything like supervision and that kind of thing, cigarettes and alcohol. So in the past, it had been, I had certainly looking after children, I'd used that combination. But this time I would say it was more serious. I would say I was on the verge of an eating disorder. I wouldn't eat. I hoped, and I know looking back, I think, well, if only people could see I wasn't eating, they'd know how distressed I was, because I found it difficult to talk about it. So that was the key one. But obviously I was hugely, I was very sad, actually. I think one of the things I did, I'd listened to particular pieces of music. So I've always been a lover of classical music, but I had it on in the car and I played it and I played it and I played it. And that helped me get my emotions out, so I could just sit in the car and weep, which I did at times. So, yeah, it was tough. It was tough. And I was very bad tempered at home.
Oh dear, oh dear. And when was the point when you, what was this, was there a particular moment that you started, what helped you turn around from the burnout?
Okay, so I was having therapy, and I had a fabulous therapist. She absolutely helped me no end. She helped me see things. Helped me realize it wasn't my fault, helped me see things in a very different way. But it was this, when I went, just before I went off sick the second time, which was 2 years after the first time, I'm going back to this eating thing. One of my managers, who was a rather large lady, had sort of forced me to go in for lunch after a meeting, which was full of carbs and things that I didn't like then, certainly don't like now. So I kind of felt I had to eat it. But that night I was sitting in the bath, and before I knew it, my finger was down my throat. I wanted to make myself sick. And I just sat up and I said, Anne, you're, what was I, 52, I think. You're 52 years old and you want to make yourself sick. What on earth is going on? So it was the next day I went to see my manager, and I said, I'm going off sick and I don't know when I'll be back. And so empowering to be able to do that, because nurses don't go off sick. You know, it's always about everybody else, not you. So I said, I'm going off sick and I'll come back when I'm ready. And I think, was it 4 weeks later? I went back and said, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm leaving. So that was my turning point.
Gosh. And I will just mention a few statistics on stress. according to the World Health Organization, 43% of adults have adverse health effects from stress, and 75 to 90% of GP visits are stress-related ailments. And it's costing, apparently, employers £300 billion annually in absenteeism, low productivity, and many, many things. And that's a lot that you were going through there. So did you also seek the doctor's support as well?
Yeah, I went to
the therapy or on the eating side of things.
Well, that went as soon as I, you know, decided, made the decision, it wasn't a problem anymore.
It did. Wow. It's amazing how you can, when you get to the root of a problem, it's like heals it. It's like for me with panic attacks that I used to have, once I got to the root of what was causing them, and I had them for two very different reasons, but they both came up. Different things highlight, they're like alarm bells, aren't they, highlight things. And when you get to the root of something, it's just such a relief.
I had a wonderful GP who I was working with as well. Sadly, she retired early for the same reason. She gave me so much of her time, and obviously that's what she was doing, and she couldn't for other patients as well. So she left early as well, before retirement. So she was really helpful. So I had a really good, she and the therapist, they were great, and obviously my family, or my husband anyway, who you know.
Yeah, it's wonderful to know Ian as well. And so I know you as Anne, who's injury-free and a businesswoman, and, you know, you're happily married and you've got a lovely family, and you're healthy and well. Now, how did you became a coach? How did you get to that point? Because obviously, you know, do Pilates and different healthy things. What were the things on the way that sort of helped you get, because these things don't happen overnight, do they?
No, I think I started going to the gym around about all this time. So I'd started doing that probably because I thought I should, rather than anything else. So that's been on and off over the last 20 years, going to the gym. And obviously I started, as I got older, I realized how grateful I was to be so fit, and I wanted to preserve it. So meeting you and starting Pilates and that's helped with core strength and all the, you know, I'm stronger, I'm flexible, I'm really, really blessed. And I go to the gym go to a PT to do resistance and weight work to help my muscles. So I don't, you know, the dots between muscle depletion, frailty and falls were just like shouting at me. And I thought, I can do something about that. But a lot of it, I have to say, has come through being a part of Arbonne, because I have learned so much about how the gut works. I have learned how important lifestyle tweaks, not massive changes, are to improve our quality of life. I've done personal development because I said yes to Arbonne. So it's not just all, you know, it's not just about everything else. I've had so much gain from being a part of that company that have helped me move from there to here. I just feel very blessed.
Yeah, and with the Pilates, so I'm very proud of you, because you're in the intermediate to advanced class.
I'm proud of me too.
Yeah, well done. Because that is, you know, you're constantly working at learning more and more intermediate and gradually more and more advanced exercises. But obviously, most of my clients have come because of having had an ache, a pain, an injury, a prolapsed disc, sciatica, some sort of low back pain, arthritis, bursitis. Basically, the list goes on and on of problems and sort of dis-ease and pains. Sometimes stress as well, that people are actually admitting to that side of things as well. But what was the reason that you kind of wanted to do it for you?
I knew I needed to do something for my core strength. That's what I knew. And I chatted to a friend of mine who's a PT, and she suggested yoga or Pilates. I tried yoga and it just didn't work for me. So I thought, right, well, I'd had Pilates years ago for a slight back ache. So I had done it, but not a huge amount. When I tried it with you, I came on a class or something, and I just, what I loved was not just being able to move my body, but actually the whole mindfulness side of it as well, because I have a very busy mind, and I think it can calm it a bit, I'm really grateful for. So I'm very blessed that I haven't got aches and pains, although I do get a bit of backache every now and again. But I just wanted to preserve what I had, I have, and stay like this. I've seen my mother, who, as you know, sadly died last year, but my mother was out in her garden, doing her garden at 98. She did Tai Chi well into her 90s. In fact, she did it until the class stopped. So she was my role model in terms of how to look after myself. She would walk a mile, it probably shrank to more, half a mile every single day. And that's what I was witnessing. And she did inspire me to actually do, you know, look after myself, because we're the only people that can do it for ourselves.
Yeah. I'm sorry about your mum. And she obviously was an inspiration from that side of things. I just watched at the weekend on Netflix. I'm not sure of the exact title of the series, but it's about the blue zones around the world, and those living the longest, healthiest, happiest lives up into their hundreds.
Well over, them, yeah.
It's amazing. And one of them was a cowboy, and you saw him racing around on his horse. And I was like, wow, you know, just so many. It was just very, very, it was very, very inspiring.
There's a book called Ikigai. Have you read it?
No.
Ikigai. And it's about that. It's about the blue zones, and particularly an island in Japan where they live a long life. And Ikigai is about purpose and that kind of thing. But, you know, the exercise, the way they eat, the positive mindset, all of that stuff. It's a really good book.
Yeah, that does sound very good. And as you say, having a purpose makes a big difference. One of the things that we bring into the mindfulness Pilates, like you love all the mindfulness side, and we do a relaxation. And today's podcast is going to be treating you to a lavender relaxation, because that's Anne's favourite. So definitely that's chosen for Anne today, and you can enjoy it too. We'll do that in a minute. One of the things we add in is 1 minute journaling, and you love journaling. Now, how does journaling, what do you love about it? How does it help you?
I find it, if I have a problem, if I have something going on in my head and I want to work it out, I just write. I'm trying to think, there was something, what was it the other day, the journaling was, like, because it was a good example. So good that I'm doing absolutely nothing about it. It was about learning.
What did I learn today?
Yeah. And I just thought, gosh, Anne, you really need to start making a note of one thing you learn every day, because one of the things I know that keeps my brain alert, and people say it about me, is, Anne, you're always learning. And there is always something to learn. And I probably do learn something every day. But I thought, I wrote down, I need to write it down every day what I learn, and I haven't, but you're just reminding me I need to start. So I use it to solve problems, to grow ideas, to deal with the self-talk. There's so much you can use journaling for.
Yeah. And in your book as well, you that comes in, and there's lots of like questions, and like I've scribbled loads of answers down, and as you say, it's great for problems. It's great for coming up solutions. And the journaling we're doing in class is pretty fast. And, you know, it's literally 1 minute, sit with good posture. What does that mean to you today? So you then have a chance to be honest about what that affirmation means. So normally we pick a card, but I think that is going to be the affirmation of today's podcast. I'd love to learn today. So for you listening right now, what does that mean to you today? Or perhaps Anne's inspired you to start journaling. And perhaps, you know, you could even get a pen and a nice notebook out and write down what that means to you today if you're inspired as well. As obviously that's another way of using affirmations. But as Anne said, you can go for longer and write for longer because you need to take your time if it's something about writing out about a problem, or you know, you've got to give yourself as much time as you need to. And if negative things come back up, that's okay, because you can, of course, you know, reframe them. And, you know, are there any action steps to take to turn this around? Like my journaling this morning, at class this morning, was actually quite negative. And I was like, I've really got to go back and completely get a cup of tea, get a pen and paper on a separate occasion and completely reframe this, because it's not true. But there is some belief that it's coming out, that there is some, you know, that needs to be turned around. So it's a very interesting thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really, really interesting. I love the fact that there's loads of research and science behind it, that, and we bring that into our book as well. So anything else? Yeah, so we're gonna do a lovely, we're definitely gonna do a lovely relaxation for you. I think because I've mentioned it, we might just go into that now. So you can sit or lie for this. It's really, really up to you. But don't do it whilst you're driving. I'm just going to head over to that now. So really enjoy it in your own time.
Welcome to your lavender relaxation. Close your eyes, either sitting or lying down. Breathe and relax. You're just going to simply breathe in through your nose and breathe out through your mouth. Relax. Relaxing more and more on each out breath. Breathing in and breathing out. Relax. And again, breathing in and breathing out. Relaxing in mind and body. Breathing in the scent of the beautiful essential oil of lavender. Lavender is such a beautiful, vibrant flower. And in your mind now, you're going to take yourself to a beautiful lavender field. This lavender field is awash with lavender, and it is just so, so beautiful. The temperature is perfect for you as you breathe and relax. And it's like you've got your own private lavender field. It's beautiful nature, and the colours are just so beautiful. The deep purples, but also the beauty of the sky, the clouds, the blue and the surroundings. As the nature around the lavender field is really expansive, and you feel free as a bird. Breathe and relax. And just enjoy the relaxation abdominal breathing, where your tummy can just rise and fall as you now breathe in through your nose and out through your nose. Lying how, or sitting, however is comfortable for you. If you're lying, you can have your knees bent and your back support, or straight if that's comfortable for you. As you breathe in through your nose, out through your nose, relax. With the beautiful positive affirmation of I am, relax. And the scent of the lavender just naturally makes you feel more relaxed. And it's like a beautiful escapism of relaxation, serenity, peace. And you're just enveloped in this beautiful, beautiful surrounding of nature in your own private lavender field. And you can escape to your lavender field and your lavender relaxation whenever you like. All you do is close your eyes, breathe and relax. In through your nose and out through your mouth. And as you daydream in your lavender field now, just breathe and relax 10 more times in your own time. Relaxing more and more on each out-breath. And just breathe and relax now. And breathe and relax. And breathe and relax. And when any distractions float on by, just allow them to float on by and know that you can carry on breathing and relaxing, giving gratitude for your time in your lavender field to breathe and relax. On the next in-breath, take a deep breath in or yawn. As you exhale, wiggle your fingers and your toes. Take another deep breath in. And then as you exhale, wiggle your fingers and your toes again. Slowly coming out of meditation. On the next out breath, just slowly open your eyes. If you're lying down, then just slowly roll onto your side, come up to sitting. And it can be really nice after meditation to have a glass of water, perhaps pick a positive affirmation card. And your message of the day, your positive affirmation of the day is, I am peaceful. All is calm and well. I am at peace within. And very well done in your meditation today. Enjoy it anytime, and sending you lots and lots of love.
Okay, so big welcome back after the lavender relaxation. So for you listening, how are you feeling afterwards? It's just so nice to take a little bit of time out to calm the mind, calm the body, and yeah, just taking time for your soul really as well. So Anne, we're just going to have a little talk about age actually. Now, in my opinion, each month, each year, each decade, we can choose to get stronger. Are you happy to share how old you are now and what you think about that?
Yeah, next Wednesday I'm 74, so 73 for another week. Same day as Susie Spriggs, by the way, just saying. And Ellen Burdett. There's a whole crowd of amazing women have their birthdays on the 31st of January. How do I feel about age? It's a number. And I think, you know, I look around and I see people of my age who are buying into the whole idea of being 70 something, and they're aging so fast. There's actually research, I can't quote it, but I know there's research to say that if in your head you think you're whatever age you are or older, then you'll age faster and vice versa. So, but it, you know, again, I'll go back to my mom. She just said it's a number.
Yeah, because I think there's this perception. I personally find those signs with an elderly, an unfit elderly person hunched over with a stick. I mean, you know, what is this all about? It's just encouraging, you know. I believe that we can choose to get stronger, you know, each month, you know, each week, each month. But equally, we must not compare ourselves to what we used to be able to do, or that's very unhealthy. I think we have to get to a place of acceptance where we are, but be so pleased with ourselves when we're doing something to help us get stronger, you know, in our body and mind.
Well, I think, as you know, Bev, it was about a year ago, or getting on for a year ago, when I first, in my first time in my life, I could do sit-ups.
Yes, that was so great.
So, you know, you can get stronger. There's absolutely no doubt about it. You can get healthier by looking at what you eat. And I think it's more important as you get older to do these things. You need to do more self-care, not less. And then you can enjoy your years. But unfortunately, I think we live in a bit of an ageist society. So I have a quick rant. We are only, Bev, that we have a home in the south of France. We like to be going to France, but the insurance will only let us out of the country for 35 days max, because based purely on our age, based purely on a number, not on our health. And I think that's disgraceful.
Wow, you can rant away.
And rant.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know there are, I see people, you can see them when you're out and about of 20, and I also know that the death rate, unexpected death rates in 45 to 65 year olds has actually gone up because they're less healthy. Eating processed foods, eating refined sugars, not exercising, not taking care of themselves, and they're getting things like type 2 diabetes and what have you. So to judge people just on age is not right, I believe.
I really, yeah, definitely. I mean, my mum is a role model
Yeah,
for,
she's fabulous, your mum.
she's 83 and she does swims every day, goes in the sauna and steam room every day, stretches there every day, three Pilates classes a week, still works running a B&B. That there's But I think it, as you say, it's important to keep moving. I mean, I have started a chair Pilates class. Now, after watching that series at the weekend, some people might be in the mindset that they think they can only do sitting and standing Pilates. But the truth is, with my guidance and teaching, I want to make sure I want to ideally get them all holding onto that chair and being able to get on and off the floor and actually working on the mat as well. Because you saw on these Blue Zone series with the 90-year-olds, 100-year-olds, they were getting on and off the floor. They were living life to the full. They still had a passion. They might still be volunteering or creating something. They were, smiling and keeping very fit, very fit. So yeah, I just want to say and thank you for being a role model
My
out
pleasure.
there, both personally and professionally. Thank you very much, and I keep being an inspirational client as well. Have you got some words of wisdom for the nurses out there now, in
Oh
their
my
profession,
goodness.
to help them with their self-care and whatever you'd like to say?
I think, and I wasn't going back 20 years ago, I didn't even realize there was a thing called self-care. I didn't I As a nurse, you are so busy caring for other people that you forget to care for yourself. And one thing I've learned since that time is you can actually care. You need to care for yourself first before you can really care for others. So self-care, find time for self-care every single day, even if it's only 10 minutes, whether it's a walk, whether it's Pilates, whether it's a read, whether it's listening to music, just time for you. That's what I would say.
Yeah, thank
That's
you
what I
very
wasn't
much.
doing.
Yeah, so important. And is there anything, any of the stress to calm tools that you found useful, or you think that either you or a listener would find useful, or a nurse might find useful too?
I well, honestly, just learning the stress to calm in, the stress to calm, what do you call it? Stress to calm to happy. That's it.
Yeah.
Because
Calm to
you have
happy.
that period of calm, and then you have that great energizing, getting you to feel good. Use your I'm stand I'm sitting, but I'm doing a power pose. It doesn't really work. That kind of thing. So your body feels good. I think that calm and then energizing yourself again. So you feel good, you feel positive, you're ready to go. And you can do that boiling a kettle, can't you? So.
Yeah, you can. And also, one nurse I taught this year, actually, she found it the most useful place to practice on a long shift within the standing up in the toilets at work.
Right,
That
okay.
was
Yeah.
her number one place to practice one of the stress calm tools, or the happy exercise that you mentioned. So you close your eyes, you breathe and relax 5 times. Then you open your eyes and smile, and then punch your arm for me 10 times. Well done, 10 punches, smiling. You've got to really smile, even if you've got to fake it. And then you get those lovely benefits.
And after. I think, you know, not a lot of people, when you're a nurse, say well done. So saying well done to yourself and high-fiving yourself, that's another great book, isn't it? High-five habit, isn't it?
Yeah, very good.
Who wrote it?
It's Mel Robbins. It's a great book, High-Five Habit. Yeah, it's very, very good. On that note, Anne, I'd like to say thank you so much for coming on as a guest today.
Absolute pleasure.
And all your details will be in the show notes. Let's give yourself a high five and a high five. And thank you so much for coming along today.
Lots of love.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. Please rate and review on your podcast platform. You can access the free healing meditation and Pilates to ease back pain in 3 minutes morning routine on my website. And you can also book your free Pilates taster class at the Zoom studio, one-to-one Pilates program, and mindfulness Pilates classes and more at www.mindfulnesspilates.com.